Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
That's a fly ball. Deep the left. Back. Back. That's it. That's it. Hey, he did it. Ernie Banks got number 500.
Let's go.
All right, it's Dave Blyer back with you on 720 WGN. So Jack Brickhouse, legend, obviously, in broadcasting. And here on WGN, he was one of the first faces. I think he was the first face that was seen on WGN television back in 1947, 1948. But he was our play-by-play man until 1981. Finally has, you know, he has a great statue, Roger, as you know, sitting outside here of the Tribune Tower.
Right on Pioneer Court.
Of the legendary Jack Brickhouse. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've said this to Pat Brickhouse, his widow, many times, that, you know, at this point, he's lost on some generations. And so it's great to have the statue here. It's great to have a little exhibit that we have down at the Broadcast Museum that's dedicated to Jack Brickhouse. But now there is a new Brickhouse Tavern at the park at Wrigley, that's right there. It is a phenomenal space. I'm telling you, there's about 1,000 people there, and I got to speak a little bit with Crane Kenny and Tom Ricketts, which I'll share with you in a few minutes. But what a tremendous space. Our broadcast museum actually ended up donating a bunch of items of Jack's that we don't have on display in some of the showcases in there because, honestly, we want to tell that story a little bit on some of the TVs that are in there during commercial breaks and stuff of some of the sporting events. There's pictures of Jack that they're using on the screen and so forth. So I really do love that finally there's something at Wrigley Field that salutes Jack Brickhouse. And it's actually the Ricketts are in partnership with the Tavern Group because they own that building, obviously, to put this out there. So it was so great to see so many of the execs and so forth from the Cubs organization. It was a big media event. And what I did is I took a few minutes aside outside and I brought my remote mic with me and had a conversation with Tom Ricketts, not only about Jack and the legend of Jack Brickhouse, but how we're going to keep the Cubs in first place.
So, Tom, how excited is it to open up a restaurant, not only right in the park at Wrigley, but dedicated to Jack Brickhouse?
Well, obviously, we're excited to get the restaurant open, and it's the first of many that we'll be doing around here, and hopefully it'll be really year-round and valued by all the neighbors, not just people on game day. But you know, Jack deserves credit. He was the voice of the Cubs for a long time. You know, so many of our fans relate to him as what the Cubs are to them. So we're happy to pay tribute to him with this place.
He's kind of lost to certain generations because Harry Carey came along and was such a prominent figure in the broadcast booth. But Jack not only did the Cubs games here, but he did the Bears here at Wrigley Field as well.
Right, obviously a Chicago broadcasting icon and, you know, universally known as just a great guy. So we're happy to have him on the outside here and pay tribute to him.
And number one again, congratulations.
Yeah, back in first. We got to keep it up, though. Today was we had our chances and we gave them away. So, you know, we got a long way to go. We got a tough division and at least we're playing better.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it.
There you go. That's Tom Ricketts from the Chicago Cubs. You know, I got to tell you, though, in the mid, you know, we're in the middle of summer. We're almost heading into August here. You know, I'd like to see, like everybody else, the Cubs stay securely in first place at this point.
A few more,
you know,
games ahead than they are now. It's a game and a half right now.
Yeah, yeah. It's just barely scraping the, scraping the surface. Yes.
It's better than they were a week and a half ago.
That's true.
When they were like four games down, something like that.
That's true. So. But you know what? Here's the thing, too. It is going to get pretty exciting, I think, at Wrigley over the next really 6 to 8 weeks, because this is it until we head into the playoff season.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think about, you know, where we were last October and literally celebrating on the streets of Chicago in really warm weather in November.
Yeah, it was a nice fall.
Remember that? It was,
yes,
it was crazy how beautiful.
Surprisingly.
It was. Even all the games and so forth. So here's hoping our Cubbies doing it again. So, you know, I was thinking about earlier in the week, and I've got something really cool to play. We're going to talk to Tom Ricketts, and I talked to him earlier in the week, so it's a taped conversation, but it's only a few minutes. But when I was standing on the roof of this restaurant, and this was one hell of a party they threw for this new Brick House restaurant named after Jack Brickhouse. And I'm standing on the roof looking down to what was not there last year. And I think about, Roger, all those years that you looked at that gravel crap that was sitting in front of Wrigley with, I think it was a donut stand, or was it a hot dog stand? Was it a donut? I can't remember what
there,
it was.
It was a donut stand first, then it turned into a hot dog stand, then it turned into storage for your backpacks. The Cubs took it over, if you know, you couldn't bring in backpacks or anything, so you had to go there and check them in.
You know what? But really awful to look at for decades.
Yeah.
Awful to look at. Now, I'm standing on the roof, and I'm looking over, having a cocktail, and looking at this beautiful lawn that is sitting there. Mm-hmm. People just hanging out. Dad and his two sons playing baseball on the field. I'm looking at this massive and really architecturally very cool hotel complex that is happening where the McDonald's and so forth, just to give people a point of reference, across the street on Clark, that is being built over there. What the Ricketts have done, I have to say, and there's some lovers and haters, is absolutely incredible. Now, with that said, I saw that Crane Kenny, and I talked to Crane a little bit too, just didn't have the microphone with me at the time. But him and the mayor have been butting heads this week about the night game issue.
Mm-hmm.
And folks, let me just give you a little update on this. So Rahm dismissed a request from the Chicago Cubs for more night games at Wrigley Field, saying the team would not be a good neighbor to Wrigleyville residents. The team chose to schedule concerts from which they keep all of the revenue rather than additional night games for the World Series champions. He says, the mayor says, they have to live with the consequences. At a news conference after a city council meeting, Cubs came back and said, well, having to choose between a night game and a concert puts us at a firm disadvantage compared to other teams in Major League Baseball and other venues in our city. It's like choosing between a foul ball and a strike. No matter which you pick, they both count against you when you're trying to marshal resources to compete against 29 other teams. And Crane Kenny said to a rival station that he wanted the team to have 54 night games, the average of all major league teams. And right now the team is limited to 47 night events, games, and concerts. Tom Tunney, who's the alderman, whose ward, of course, includes Wrigley, also showed no interest in renegotiating, which was last updated in 2013 when they had only 35 night games and 4 concerts, and then another 8 games for any other needs that they had. But I will tell you, the Cubs have invested millions and millions upon millions of dollars in this community. And one of them is a million-dollar grant to add more police surveillance cameras around the north side. It increases another $30 million in tax revenue as a result of all the renovations and so forth that is happening there. To the team, more night games means more revenue, which means also more revenue for everything happening in that at neighborhood. And, you know, the city just doesn't want to budge. They feel like they've done enough. It frustrates me a little bit because, you know, what always comes up is, well, you know, the people in the neighborhood, the people in the neighborhood, the people in the neighborhood. And granted, I understand that, you know, they're going to have some noise and parking issues and people drunk and whatever running around the neighborhood late at night. But is it me or I've talked about this before, that ballpark has been there almost 103 years, long before any single resident that has moved into Wrigleyville.
Who lives there now.
lives there now.
Yeah.
You knew that there was a ballpark here.
Mm-hmm.
Ballparks and sporting teams and so forth do spend money to evolve the experience, so it was only going to get better for the team and its fans, which means it might be a little bit of an inconvenience to the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
But with all the improvements that are made there, and you think about what a crappy corner that was, and it just was. And as much as I love going there, when I see what they're doing now and changing that entire experience along Clark and Addison, and, you know, the Ricketts buying up all the rooftops pretty much and eventually wanting to close off those streets and have, like, street fairs down there and so forth.
Right.
You know, I understand that, you know, you got to work with your neighbors and so forth. But this whole, you know, you guys are taking advantage of the neighborhood. I'm sorry, but that ballpark has been there for over a century. And if you didn't know that was there when you moved in, then it's really your problem to deal with. Mm-hmm. I understand limiting the games, but let's try to make it on average with what the rest of Major League Baseball has with their teams for a night game.
Yeah. It's whatever Wrigley Field had going on during the day games before night games came in there within the neighborhood, which caters to the Wrigley Field crowd. Think of all the businesses that are in that neighborhood that would not be there were it not for the stadium.
Of course not.
All right.
Yeah.
And then you knew during day games, you knew that you had parking issues. You had people all over the place. You had a lot of drinking, people walking on lawns and stuff. And the big complaint was that the residents, from what I remember, is they didn't want that same stuff happening at night, which is why they didn't want to have night games.
A lot of these residents, though,
and
God bless them for doing it, because I would take it if I was living there, I would do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
People are, I've got a buddy that I park in his driveway, and it's a business for him. He's got a couple driveways, a couple homes that he owns around there. And, he's parking 8 to 10 cars a night on his property.
Yeah.
Now, think about that times and how many home games and
exactly.
the revenue that's there. And there's a lot of folks taking, advantage of that. And I think that's fine. I think that's great, actually.
And look what happened to the owners of the buildings that were there. How many of them put up stands on their roofs and start charging people money to come see the Cubs games or at least experience a Cubs atmosphere.
Sure, and the Ricketts own most of those now. But,
but still, the owners of those buildings did it first. They said, well, if we're going to have games here during the day, this is a way for us to make more money. So, again, the community has embraced all this. I don't see why there can't be. You said there were 47 night games and or concerts that have been approved. And they want 54. They want 7 more nights.
Yeah. I really don't think that's a make or break, right?
Come on.
Yeah. And again, if you're living in the neighborhood, there's a coolness to living in that neighborhood.
Oh,
But the only coolness, the biggest coolness comes from Wrigley Field sitting right there.
Exactly.
So, you got to play a little nicer with them because that's why you got the active neighborhood. And it's a very young demographic. I mean, if you look at the demographics really surrounding tight Wrigley Field, It's definitely, younger. It's 20,
my son lived a block away for a year and a half. He lived in an apartment a block away just north through that parking lot that runs alongside where the fire station is.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's a young person's area. I mean, 90% of the businesses in there, I think, are bars. You've got a theater down the street, down Clark Street a little ways. You've got a club, nightclub. But most of the other businesses are bars. So, what other businesses would be in there if there was no baseball stadium? If you go down the blue line or the red line on the north side and you look at all the stops and you look at the businesses that are around those stops, those are the kind of businesses that would be at Wrigley, at Addison.
Yeah.
And I'd say maybe 70% of those bars would all be gone.
Absolutely.
Because you wouldn't have the flow.
The other thing you have to look at, too, is, people have to also realize, and I think most people are respectful. There's a percentage that isn't. But you are in somebody's neighborhood, too. So you have to show that same respect. But you can't control everything. But I think another 7 night games is not a big deal.
Spread out over a season?
Exactly.